Hello and welcome to the Open Cloud Infrastructure Podcast. I am your host, Sascha Siegmann, and today is Thursday, January 2025, and this is episode 18 with these topics. Where you been, Sascha? Then Portland startup kickoff in 2025. What is the state of Kubernetes in 2024, and how is 2025 going to look? And a podcast recommendation at the end. Where you been, Sascha? Well, 2024 was the first year I've been sick to a degree I've never been before. It started right in January, and by the time June rolled around, I had Legionnaire's disease, HMPV, RSV, and COVID-19 spaced out by about 2 months each. It wasn't fun, but finally I was back in shape in October to run Portland Marathon, but didn't get to do that either due to a family emergency. But now everything's back in order. So for 2025, I have different plans. For one, I want to have guests on the podcast. Ideally, folks with a DevRel background or other people that have interesting information, news, or stories from the Kubernetes ecosystem. So if you have a project, product, or need to tell the world something, please contact me, and I'd be happy to have you on. Portland Startup Kickoff 2025. So in the spirit of kicking things off, I went to the 2025 Portland Startup Community Kickoff event, and I found a who is who of the startup scene in the Pacific Northwest and Portland. The full list of organizations can be found in the show notes and include the Oregon Entrepreneurs Network, North Bank Innovations, Build Oregon, and Silicon Florist, a blog designed to capture and document the stories coming out of Portland, Oregon. Authored by Rick Turosi, I spoke with over a dozen people I've never met before, and I've had some fascinating conversations with CEOs, investors, government officials, and individuals. Not everyone gave me their full name, but all gave me permission to record. So given I recorded this in Portland, there's a nice mix of professions and personalities I've met. Thanks for everyone speaking with me, and to Nicole for the insight that, quote, "you can't build things on division." Over to Rick and my guests.
I am Rick Turosi, and I have been working in, on, and around startups in the Portland startup community for the past 30 years. For 12 years, I worked in startups. For the past 15 years or so, I've really been working on the startup community and ensuring people have access to the resources they need to build companies in town.
Yeah. So I was, of course, kidding. I know who you were. But this is a pretty large event. You capped it at 500 registrations.
Yeah.
We kind of maxed out. Is this a good sign?
I think it's a sign that we've tapped into something that the community needs. This event was really designed to just be an experiment to see how many people have showed up, how much money did it take to pull this off, and we're going to report out on all of our findings with the hopes that that enables and empowers other organizations to do these kind of events, but also helps founders understand what it takes to pull off this for like a product launch or something for their companies as well.
So thank you so much for your time, Rick.
Of course.
And I really appreciate you organizing this and bringing the community here together.
Thank you for coming. I'm really glad you were here.
My real name is Amina Moreau, and I run a startup here in town. I'm the CEO of Radius, which is a Portland-based startup, and I have been involved in the Portland area startup community for the last 10 plus years as a mentor, as an entrepreneur, and just a fellow supporter of the community here.
Yeah. So this is the first time the community comes together here in 2025. So I have to ask you, what's the hot take of 2025 for you? What is the outlook? What's the big theme? What do you expect to happen in 2025?
One thing that I love about this area is that there are so many resources for entrepreneurs. My one frustration is that they're all fairly disparate. They're siloed. What I love about this event as a microcosm for what I hope to come for 2025 is that all of these organizations that support entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship are coming together and creating a hub, if you will, of resources and support which is badly needed. And so I think the coming together of community and supporting each other in bigger and new ways, that's what I hope to see for the next year and beyond.
Are you a generalist in helping people start companies?
I'm a serial entrepreneur myself, so I'm working on scaling my fifth company right now. And so the mentorship that I offer generally is just from my own personal experience and whatever I can pass on. I've mentored with Pi and several other organizations here, and I love being able to pay it forward.
Okay. And is it in the technology space, IT, or what is it that you do?
My expertise is both in tech and in the storytelling space. And so my educational background is in the psychology of storytelling, which is relevant pretty much everywhere you're having a conversation or you're marketing a product or you're selling something. And so my passion is for helping startups, whether they're in tech or otherwise, communicate their intentions better and to an audience that they care about.
And how can people connect with you?
I am becoming more and more active on LinkedIn with every passing day. So if you look me up, Amina Moreau, in Portland, you'll find me.
Well, I'm in the startup scene in Portland. I have a side project. I also work for a company that services a lot of startups. And, you know, I've done a number of companies, and I'm excited to see how the community is coming together after a bit of a hiatus with COVID, et cetera.
Yeah. COVID did really a number on many startups as well. Did you have any firsthand experience with the consequences of COVID in one of your startups?
Yeah, at the time I was running a company called Snowshoe, that's now Loyalty, and we did, we still supply retail software to retail storefronts. So it really had a big change in how our market accelerated or deaccelerated during COVID, and we had to do a lot of work with our retail stores to keep our customers' businesses intact. My name is Ned Hayes, and I was formerly the CEO for Snowshoe. I'm now a CEO for a small startup called the Human Intelligence Institute, and I also run startup services for Darwaft as their managing partner based here in Portland. So we do a lot of work with local startups, and we really want the scene to thrive. We think it's important for Portland to have a viable software startup scene.
Sure, I'm David Kenny. I'm an impact investor, advisor, and consultant. For 15 years, I was the executive director at Virtue Lab, which is a program that supports climate tech startups.
And that is the program here out of Portland? Is that specifically here in Portland?
Yeah, it was based here in Portland. We worked with startups throughout the Pacific Northwest.
So I'm here for this event to network with people who have maybe an idea or an outlook of 2025. What is? Do you have a hot take on 2025? What do you expect to happen in 2025? What will change?
I think there's a lot of tentativeness about 2025. And I think in the space I occupy, a lot of folks are worried about the effects of the climate, of the Trump administration on climate and social justice. And I think a lot of folks are looking to the private sector to step in where government has been for the last few years in terms of supporting R&D and other kinds of programming to support big climate initiatives.
My name is Stephanie Zasyakina, and I work for, I'm the CEO and owner of InReach Solutions. We make child welfare software for adoption in foster care agencies around the United States.
And Stephanie, are you here local from Portland, or what brings you specifically to this event?
Yes, I am local here in Portland. I'm looking to find people I'm opening up my network because I'm looking to some rapid growth this year.
So you're looking to hire?
I'm definitely looking to hire.
Okay, what are you hiring for?
So right now I'm looking for a project manager with a PMP certification, but we'll also be adding a larger development team. So senior level developers, ASP.NET, C#, Microsoft SQL Server. We're looking for QA engineers and technical writers will also join the team.
Hi there, my name is Eric Wong. I'm the founder of a AI automation agency called Hello AI. I help businesses generate leads using AI agents.
Excellent. And you're here to also network and hire people or just to get a feel?
Yeah, of course. Networking, trying to meet other entrepreneurs, connect with as many people as I can. Yeah, looking for people to work with, of course.
Are you also hiring?
Yes.
What are you hiring for?
I'm looking for founding engineers for my firm. Also, founding salespeople. So account executives, anyone with experience interested in working in the space. So right now we're a consulting agency, but we want to shift into building our own product and becoming a SaaS business as well. Yeah, that's right.
My name's Julie.
Julie, what are you doing here at this event?
So I am an HR consultant. I support small businesses and tech startups with headhunting, and then any kind of HR onboarding, recruiting, hiring, the whole gamut from an HR standpoint.
And Julie, are you specifically looking for IT people or just a generalist?
I'm a generalist. Mm-hmm. I've supported with every HR function. I'm getting my paralegal degree right now, so I also support from an HR legal standpoint. So anything and everything that these small businesses need, I advise and consult on.
And do you normally network at these type of events? What was it that you normally do to meet more people?
This is my first networking event, actually. I just got my LLC, and so I was like, now is the time to go out and kind of really branch out and hopefully get some new clients and be able to support and consult, answer questions, advise, you know. A lot of these people are just starting up, and so they need some guidance and support. So.
And do you work self-employed? Is this your own company, or do you work for a larger organization?
I work for a larger entity. I actually work for the second largest food distributor in the country, Performance Food Group. But this is kind of my ad hoc consulting side hustle, if you will. It's what lights me up, right? Supporting small businesses, answering questions, especially with some of the products that come out of these. It's really, really cool to be a part of the vision and see these people work, cook, if you will. Yeah.
Right. So do you stick teams together? What is it that you would normally do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of everything, which I appreciate. Sometimes it's consulting on a situation. Maybe it's an employee experience or an investigation. Sometimes it's recruiting, looking at resumes, connecting a candidate with a company that I think might be a really good fit for them. Sometimes it's building templates and tailoring them to their needs. So they need an employee handbook, or they need an SOP or a specific policy that's specific to Washington or Oregon, and I build that for them.
Okay. And do you have a takeaway from today? What's the event like for you?
It's way bigger than I thought it was going to be. Lots of people. I really appreciated the variety. I thought it was only going to be like B2B apps, basically, and technology, but it's a little bit of everything and a variety of positions. So you've got C-suite here. You've got people who are just starting out. You got people who are just excited to support the people that are here doing the same thing, right? So it's been really cool. I'll definitely come back.
Yeah, and I've definitely talked to a number of people that are actually looking for jobs here. So it's really a event that works for both sides.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, I've definitely told people to give me their resume, so for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your impressions, Julie, and good luck here on this event.
You as well. Have fun. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
So I'm a recent computer science graduate with a focus in cybersecurity. And I came to this event because I'm interested in finding startups that are hiring for software or cybersecurity.
Excellent. And have you already run into a few people here?
I mean, I've connected with like 20 people probably at this point.
Wow.
The first person I talked to had an opportunity that sounded pretty promising.
Very nice. So you talked about cybersecurity. That's actually my field as well. Do you have a specialization? I mean, what's your beat in cybersecurity?
I don't really have a specialization yet, but I was thinking it'd be a good idea to start kind of blue team. Red team sounds cool. Like maybe I'd want to work my way up to that. But I want to see how blue team feels like if I would like that.
Excellent. And when did you graduate?
In April of last year.
Excellent. And how's the job search going so far? Is it disappointing?
It's pretty tough. I think for anyone who's graduated in the last 2 years, it's really hard to find those entry or junior level roles. When you look on the job sites, all the postings you'll see are like senior roles. And the minimum experience that I'll see on any given job posting is 2 years. I never see less than that.
Okay. Have you talked to Stephanie here yet?
I don't think I've talked to Stephanie yet.
I'm going to look around, and if I see her, I will point her out to you. She is hiring also for junior roles. This is a really nice event to network, to get to know people. What's your last question? What's your hot take for 2025? What's the best possible outcome from this event to you?
The best possible outcome? I think if I was able to figure out what people need and come up with ideas for solutions to their problems, that would be really cool if I was able to collaborate with people. And then, of course, just like being able to get that first job out of college would be really helpful. But besides getting a job, I'm really interested in like having stuff going on the side where I'm working on projects that are impactful to the tech community.
What's your side project?
Well, right now I don't have a lot going on, but I did work on with a web app with my sister called Clutter Map. It's used for organizing the items in your home. So basically you can put in an item, say it's in this organizational unit. So an organizational unit would be like a cabinet or a set of shelves. And then you can later like search for that item if you don't remember where it's supposed to go. Or if you have guests over and you want them to know where stuff gets put away.
Is that something that Airbnb might be interested in?
Yeah, I think it would be very helpful for Airbnb. People have mentioned that before.
Very cool idea. And what is the name of the application?
Clutter Map.
Spell it, please.
CLUTTERMAP.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Lana. Good luck here.
You are listening to the Open Cloud Infrastructure Podcast by Sasha Siegman, episode 18. You can find out more about the show by visiting siegman.cloud, where previous episodes can be found, as well as other articles and all LinkedIn profiles of my guests.
So, David, nice to meet you. I'm Sasha.
What's your
name?
David.
David, are you here as a job seeker or as someone who wants to connect? What is it that you try to get out of here?
I'm really just here to meet people and hang out.
Yeah. Cool.
So first time working in the tech world and just trying to meet other people locally. I'm a remote worker, so I don't get out much. And so it's nice to just meet people in the same world.
Are you in the IT industry? What is it that you do?
I'm a product designer for REI, so I work on like apps and retail software. And then have some startups on my own.
And what are some of those startups?
One is a carbon accounting platform that's for food and beverage industry. So we've kind of like created a specific questionnaire that allows people to calculate their carbon footprints who own restaurants or bars or breweries, wineries, whatever. It's like very hyper-focused on the kind of nuances that exist in those industries so that the carbon footprint is really accurate. And then the ability to mitigate that carbon over time. We have kind of like this whole reduction strategy space where you can look at the 10-year projection of like your financials. If you install various like carbon reduction methods, such as like solar panels is an easy one, or in the case of like brewing, like methane offsets from like carbon sequestration in the brewing process to like carbonate the beers later down the line, you can simulate how those like reductions would actually like change your overall footprint and how much it's going to cost you as your business grows over time. So it's a lot of kind of being able to pull levers, understand like if you want to be a more sustainable business, how do you do that in a way that, you know, is both meaningful to your business, your customers, and how it affects your bottom line. The other one's more of a consumer product around word of mouth recommendations and using AI to help kind of collect recommendations that are often shared via word of mouth into these actionable lists that you can easily share with friends or capture for yourself and kind of collect those things over time. So
that sounds really interesting. What is the aspect of AI, or where do you see the best benefit coming out of using artificial intelligence for recommendations? How do you actually approach that?
I think it takes disparate information and allows it to be very easily organized in a way that's meaningful. And in our case, it's kind of removing all the noise and the distraction of like having a conversation with someone. And you know, if you share some things with me about places to go, I may not write them down or remember them. And if you can do it easily, kind of like Shazam does with music, then it's kind of takes a lot of that need to remember things or that need to kind of like have been more intentional and, you know, less present during that time. Instead, you can, you know, spend the time with the person you're with and be able to kind of collect that information, whether it's like, you know, you could have it like listening in real time, like now, or you can kind of have that person speak in their phone and say, hey, like, you know, my favorite coffee shops in Portland are, you know, XYZ, and they hit send to you, and then you get a list of places that you can go visit in Portland as well. So AI really just helps synthesize that information in a way that makes it a lot more meaningful and easier to access. So, you know, and in the case of recommendations, it's so disparate how people collect that information. It could be email, text messages, social media, whatever it is. The key is that valuable recommendations come from trusted resources. And so that trusted resource could be a friend. It could be, you know, someone you meet in a local community who lives there. And being able to capture that in a way that's simple and easy is really the goal.
What are some of the websites where people can learn about that?
The product is rec.oo, R-E-C-C.oo. We're kind of getting off the ground right now with it. My portfolio has some of the other products in it. Climate Hound is the carbon accounting product in the food and bev world. So it's that's kind of the main.
Excellent. What's the best possible outcome of today for you?
I'm here. That was all I my goal was, you know. Really just wanted to see what's going on here and meet a few people, which I've already done, and yeah. That's all I had for a goal was, you know.
I'm Nick Mendez. I'm a human-centric photographer and videographer. I use authentic storytelling in commercial photography and video, event photography, and short-form video production.
That is a very polished introduction.
Thank you.
And this is a startup event. Do you hope to connect with what kind of people?
Sure. I'm here sort of on two angles. Later this year, I'm launching an artist-owned licensing library called Ultramarine Photo. It's built on Shopify, so I'm looking for development and design talent to help me shuttle that along. Eventually, I'm going to hire staff for things like sales and marketing, and I want to start making those connections and think about maybe if investors is a thing that I'm going to want one day. And on the other side, with my media production business, I love working with other entrepreneurs and small brands. I think it's a really good time to really dig deep on why you do what you do, the sort of humanity and personality that you bring to it, because that's what really helps attract customers, whether you're direct-to-consumer or B2B. I'm sort of attacking both those angles tonight.
And where can we find you on social media?
Oh, sure. You can see my work at Nick Mendez, NickMendez.com. I'm also on Instagram at NickMendez.photography. And I'm on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. I spend a lot of time there.
Nathan C., what are awesome you? Future.
Yeah. What brings you here and what's your background?
I've been a fan of Silicon Florist events for probably a decade or more. Fantastic places to come out, meet people, understand the state of the industry. And I work from home as a recent founder, so it's really important for me to have opportunities to get out of the house, check in, see the community. As like the first event of the year, just really excited to see this many people excited about startups in Portland.
What's your do you have a technical startup? I mean, how would you describe yourself as a start-upper?
So I am a recent founder. I would say that I work with startups a lot because my focus is helping people with big ideas succeed faster by helping them better understand their customers. Usually in practice, what that means is I'm working with like AR, AI glasses, and spatial computing, like digital product technologies, platforms, creator tools, with go-to-market and product market fit problems. And usually that includes like customer research, synthesis, all the business strategy, product, really helping people make breakthroughs. I really like tech, but I'm a communicator by trade, and helping people who have like complicated ideas tell their story simply is something I really enjoy.
So you are the first person that I'm meeting with Ray-Ban smart glasses.
Yeah.
How have those impacted your life?
So I'm a little creeped out to talk with the AI too much, but as a media producer, I've been trying to adopt them as my primary recording device. So I've been recording like reels and videos, talking about marketing things, as well as using them pretty, I'm really excited to use them for mobile app demos, because it takes something, right, like I work for a couple different mobile app applications, and being able to hold the phone up to my face, use both hands, and use the Ray-Bans to record the on-app interactions is like so useful. It used to take like two people or a funny rig and weird positions to do. So still learning about them, but really like them, and they're my favorite headphones, even though the audio is not great.
Wait,
I just really like the open ear bone conduction. It's like, yeah. So it's a combination of bone conduction and like directed microphone or directed speakers. And so I could listen to a podcast, like I just turned on a podcast right now, and like you wouldn't even be able to hear it, but I could. And that's been great for like my mental health walks.
That's fantastic. So back to 2025.
Yep.
What's the best possible outcome of tonight for you?
The best possible outcome in 2025 for tonight's event, that I'm sponsoring the 2026 event.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish that you succeed with that.
Yeah, thanks.
how can we, where can we find you on social media?
Awesome, yeah. I'm Nathan C. on most platforms, and I host a podcast called The Glow Up, Fabulous Conversations with Innovative Minds. It's available on all podcast platforms and YouTube. And you can find Awesome Future at awesomefuture.studio and on all social platforms as well.
So, Nicole, who are you and what brings you here?
Well, I am a consultant. I'm a belonging expert, and I'm doing innovative things, and that's what brings me here. I love the people here. I have lots of friends, and I love seeing the people here, and that's why I'm here. So I do belonging from a personality perspective. We develop the belonging modality from a hunter-gatherer perspective on personality. I also, this last year, and we're launching it, a diversity through accessibility lens. That's how different races, women, LGBTQ+, and culture view accessibility. And then I'm also working on a technology-based healing modality to help heal things like system of oppression and other things. So it's really focusing, how do we create more of a welcoming environment that's like a hug?
And so for 2025, do you have concerns in that area?
Yeah, I do. But at the same time, if we learn how to work together and learn, you cannot build things on division. And so what happens is if we do not join in that, but instead we learn how to create and foster belonging within ourselves, we can fight anything, because division can never stand.
What is the state of Kubernetes in 2024, and how is 2025 going to look? Kubernetes turned 10 years old as a technology platform and has matured to a point where we don't have to argue about the need for an orchestration platform anymore. The container orchestration wars are over, were over a while ago, and there's nothing on the horizon that I can see that will replace Kubernetes in the foreseeable future. What I can see are realizations that Kubernetes is too hard and difficult, both to understand as a technology as well as operating it. Not just using it on a cloud provider, but really running your own Kubernetes clusters on-prem with your own team. That's always been very hard, and I'd say it has become ever more difficult because there's simply no design goal to keep things simple. Kubernetes is not optimized for the weak of mind. That's definitely one of the directional corrections we as a community need to look at. Why do we want to keep things complex and users shut out? There's really no good reason. Simplification is where I see the main focus going over the next year. I'm convinced we will see increased on-prem adoption of Kubernetes in the context of AI projects. As I continue to learn more about the theoretical background, I see data at the heart of every AI project. There's little use of wrapping ChatGPT around idiotic support agents. There's a lot more value in training data and scoring customer behavior. For example, an AI-driven CRM that enriches insights and creates actionable intelligence about the state of the business and our customers? Sign me up, or I might have to write it myself. From an infrastructure perspective, we are going to see crazy innovation speed. Just like NVIDIA struck a pot of gold when people realized GPU shaders make excellent vector computers, Kubernetes enables the standardized packaging of AI model infrastructure. And we will see a whole host of new companies that will offer the trifecta of services, platform, and software. Probably one of the last safe domains for IT people in the United States, be at the forefront of AI or sink into irrelevance. I asked Google Search its opinion on the question of where Kubernetes is going in 2025, and I'll provide my actual intelligence insight here that AI can't infer ever, neither here in the US nor in low-wage countries, because AI is actually quite dumb when you think about it. Quote, in 2024, Kubernetes is considered the dominant platform for cloud-native applications with widespread adoption across industries, but its complexity remains a challenge. Looking towards 2025, the focus will be on integrating AI/ML, edge computing, and further streamlining operations with features like serverless Kubernetes, while security concerns around managing complex Kubernetes environments will become increasingly critical as more mission-critical applications are deployed on the platform. End quote. Google's AI results from the standard Google search agree with my assessment that AI and operational aspects are going to be important. I'm not sure what the edge computing benefits are. Edge computing is resource constrained typically in all aspects, CPU, memory, network, and adding a chubby management platform for not much benefit is a hard sell to me. And also, I have no idea what serverless Kubernetes is. A podcast recommendation. There are so many great podcasts out there, and I listen to a lot of them, so why not call them out when there's great stuff to listen to? This time I want to recommend something not related to the industry, the No Such Podcast. No Such Podcast pulls back the curtain on the National Security Agency. NSA's very existence used to be classified, leading to its nickname, No Such Agency. Hear from people at NSA talk about what it's really like to work at one of the most secretive agencies in the government. I've been listening to Grace Hopper lectures most recently, and I came away being even more impressed by the legend that Grace Hopper was, but also how advanced her thinking was. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate time. And check back in 2 weeks, hopefully, I've been a bit occupied recently, for another episode of Open Cloud Infrastructure. If you like this show, recommend it to a friend, like it, follow me on Mastodon as ssiekman at infosec.exchange, that's ssiekmann at infosec.exchange. Or you can also email me at sascha@siekmann.com. That's S-A-S-C-H-A at S-I-E-K-M-A-N-N.com. The music in this program is licensed from Audio Jungle. Head over to my YouTube channel where you can check out installation videos and how I set up my lab. Hop on over to YouTube and find me as Open Cloud Infrastructure. See you soon.